So then moving on to kind of a big question when it comes to this, and maybe you've heard about it in the topic of the conversation with this, but does ought imply can? So one of the objections to the scenario painted here concerns human beings' moral ability. Free will theists frequently suggest that if God places moral obligations on us, things that we ought to do, then we must have the freedom and power to meet those obligations. Otherwise, our moral responsibility is eviscerated. We just don't have it.
Right. So, you know, if we ought to do these things and ought not to do these things, and one would suggest that we're able to. Right. If that's, you know, if we have a moral responsibility to do this, then we should be able to. If we have a moral response. So the problem is, it's argued, if we have a moral responsibility, but we're not able, then we really don't have the responsibility because we're not able to carry it out how the argument would go. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, he's suggesting that is not the case.
Right.
Right.
So thus, ought implies can.
Right.
If we ought to obey the moral commands of God, then it's only fair that we be constituted so that we can obey them. This perspective implies that freedom to obey or disobey, i.e. the exercise of libertarian freedom, is necessary for moral responsibility.
Yeah. So he asks, how does the Calvinist respond to this, right? Because obviously the Calvinist is suggesting that, you know, our hearts are so messed up that we can't obey the law of God, right? And so if we can't, why are we responsible for it, right? Moral obligations, he tells us, do not require, and here's the answer, moral obligations do not require moral ability. Mm-hmm. That's the answer, right? Nor does an inability to redress moral wrongs exempt one from the just demands and penalties of the law, right? And he gives us an illustration. Suppose someone breaks into the museum in Paris and steals Leonardo da Vinci's masterpiece, the Mona Lisa, and then lights it on fire in front of the Eiffel Tower. Horror of horrors, right?
Just give it a few years. Yeah. Yeah.
Who knows, you know, how to calculate the loss of such a priceless piece of historical art? Mm-hmm. Hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars, right? In either case, notice it is unlikely that the perpetrator would have the means to repay the loss,
right?
So does that, and, you know, so the question then is...
Right. Since the perpetrator would have no ability to repay or redress the loss of the masterpiece, does this exempt him from being liable for the crime?
Yeah, well, he can't repay it, so no, he's not responsible for the loss of it.
Right.
Right, because he doesn't have the ability to repay it. Is that what we want to say? I don't think we want to say that.
Yeah. The judge has sentenced me to 6 lifetime, time in jail for the 6 murders I committed. I can't serve 6 lifetimes. I'm free to go. Good. Well, of course not. His liability is tied to the vile intentions he had in stealing and destroying the Mona Lisa or the murders, and not to whether he had the ability to redress his crime. The principles here hold true in biblical models of justice. Our moral responsibility is not tied to whether we can obey the law of God. The fact is we cannot. Even our best deeds as unregenerate sinners are like filthy rags.
Right.
It's almost like we need something more.
Yeah, right.